Good morning. Can you hear me okay through this?
Yep.
Okay, I can't hear up here, but I trust our sound guy.
Well, there's one easy way to tell.
Okay. I don't think I've ever seen Donnie sleep back here. I was asked if I could bring a message this morning, and I always count it a privilege to preach the word. And this morning I want to talk about The Stand. You ever see that movie, The Stand, that Stephen King movie where a virus is released and it starts wiping people out, and certain of the good guys survive and certain bad guys? And the bad guys were led by a demonic spirit in human form. And it's called The Stand because they have to take a stand against this guy. I won't tell you how the movie ends in case you've not seen it. But that's what I want to talk about this morning, The Stand. We're going to be in the book of Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, which I've really grown to like it over the last few years. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 24. And chapter 24, beginning at verse 9. And we'll read through verse 14. Jesus had been asked by his men, what will be the sign of the end of the age, of your coming in the end of the age? Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Holy Father in heaven, I thank you for your written word this morning. I thank you for the living word, Jesus the Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the new covenant that we are in, where you said you would live in us and be with us, and we would be your people and you would be our God. Lord, I pray this morning that you will enable me to bring this message, that we will be encouraged and strengthened in these wicked times that we live in. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Colossian church, I read in a historical commentary, there were three churches in Colossae. They were all house churches. So when Paul wrote this letter, it was to be circulated in all three churches. The early church started out as house churches. Jerusalem had what we call today a mega church, 3,000 plus members. Then it went to 5,000 members. And it says people were getting saved daily. Wow. That's an evangelistic church. Paul had went to Asia Minor and preached the gospel, and he rented a hall that this philosopher taught in, and it's believed that Paul taught in that hall during the afternoon because the philosophy students would go home because it'd get hot. And Paul rented the hall for 2 years, and it says at the end of 2 years, the whole province of Asia Minor had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now that's a barn burner. And it wasn't that Paul went out and preached, but people came to him and sat in that hot, sweaty building and listened to him teach the word of God. Many were converted to Christ from paganism, from idol worship. And then they went out to their hometowns and said, hey, guess what this guy named Paul told me? Guess what this Jesus has done in my life? And that just amazed me when I read that. In 2 years, all of Asia had heard the word. But Paul didn't give up there. He was dealing with a church at this time that he praises them for their spiritual growth. But he also has to warn them because the heresy that came into the church. I read a book called Early Christians Speak. It's on the first three centuries. I've always wanted to read the letters of the early church fathers. Irenaeus, Polycarp, that's two I remember. And one thing I noticed in reading this history is that it did not take long for heresy to get into the church doctrine. And the elders of those churches, when they spotted it, they dealt with it immediately. They dealt with whoever was teaching it. They gave them a chance to repent, and they told them, this is wrong, you can't teach this. And if they said, this is the truth, they said, you're out of here. We can't have this in the church. They were bishops. We don't use that term in the Christian church, but elders were called bishops and overseers. And that was part of their job. And Paul warned the Ephesian elders, which was near Colossae. He said, after I leave, you're never going to see me again. But he said, I want to tell you something. There are wolves coming up out of your own flock that will lead people astray. And he reminded the elders, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or bishops of the flock. And you're to keep an eye on this and not allow it to happen. And in most of Paul's letters, you see him address these issues. The Colossian church had developed what became known in history as the Colossian heresy. It was a mixture of Gnosticism and Greek philosophy. And what it taught was that your body is evil. And your spirit is imprisoned in that body. And the only way you can defeat that is by ascetic practices, which means you get off by yourself, you don't affiliate with people. So in other words, the church builds a building, we don't go nowhere. We're very careful about who we let in. They took cold showers, they starved themselves, they would beat themselves, and they were also told that between heaven and earth there was this realm. And your prayers would just go to that realm. That's as high as they would go. You were not worthy to talk to God directly. So you talked, there were angels between this barrier and the earth, and they could get through to the angels above the barrier. So you prayed to this angel who told this angel who told this angel who went through the barrier, told the next higher angel, and you went through this hierarchy of angels. Because you weren't worthy to pray to God. God didn't want to hear it. In Greek philosophy, the God who created this world is one of the lesser gods. And he's very mischievous. He doesn't care about people. He made man for his entertainment. Let's see what happens. And I've heard people accuse God of that today. They actually feel like God must be sitting there just laughing. Because I don't think that he's helping me. I don't feel like he's helping me. This heresy was in the church, and Paul understood what was going on. And as a bishop, he was a missionary preacher, but he was also considered pastor of several churches in Asia Minor. That he was like the senior minister, but he traveled. And he ordained bishops and deacons in every church that was set up. And he entrusted them with teaching the gospel while he went out and made more churches, put more churches together. He'd never been to Colossae. That impressed me, the love and concern Paul had for Christians, period. If they said, this group over here came to Christ, that just thrilled Paul. And if he was able, he would personally go visit them. If he wasn't able, he'd try to write him a letter. And when he heard, there's this teaching in this church, even though he'd never been to Colossae, it really upset him. And Paul said, this isn't good. What you're being taught here isn't right. So he's addressing the Colossians, and where we come in chapter 3, he says, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He told him in his letter, you were buried in baptism with Christ unto his death. That's what baptism by immersion does. In the early church, they considered it a very much part of salvation. And I've had people today say that's water regeneration. All you got to do is say the sinner's prayer. You can get baptized if you finally decide to. The early church didn't teach that. You got baptized. And you weren't baptized immediately. When you came to that church and expressed, I want to be a Christian, they took you through what we would call today a catechism class and said, now this is what we believe and why we believe it. And chances are, if you're baptized and you join this church, you're going to get persecuted. The Jews hated Christians, and I'm not anti-Semitic. Rome accepted Judaism as a legal religion, and by that it means they did not persecute the Jews. They said, hey, that's the way they worship, that's their God. As long as they obey Roman law, fine. When Christianity sprung up, the Romans said, well, it's just a form of Judaism because they read the same Bible the Jews were reading. And that enraged the Jews, the leaders, and they finally convinced Rome they are no part of us. So at this time, there is persecution against the church. And I was surprised to learn there was never really an empire-wide persecution of the church. Just certain parts of the empire would persecute the Christians. And I mean put them to death. In gruesome ways. And after emperor worship started, when the Caesar was declared to be a god, that was one of the tests they would give to every Christian in every city. Every year, once a year, the citizens were supposed to come to the temple of the city, whether it was Zeus or Diana, and they would have a bust of the Caesar, and they were to bow on their knees and offer incense and say, Caesar is Lord. Well, the Christians would say, Jesus is Lord. And a lot of them lost their lives. They lost their homes. They lost their property. They were ostracized. Nobody was allowed to take care of them. You better not feed them. You better not clothe them. You better not hide them in your house, or you're going to get the same treatment. And I always thought this was going on all over the empire, but actually it wasn't. One church father shared that one Roman emperor knew the Christians were praying for him, and when the persecution started, everything in his kingdom started going, and he sent letters out all over the Roman Empire and said, leave them folks alone. When they pray for me, I prosper. And he said, when you're doing this to them, the gods punish me. So this was going on in the church. The most danger was the heresy that was coming from within. The persecution tended to strengthen the church. I was surprised to read that a lot of Christians committed suicide. Jumped off buildings and that. A lot of them renounced their faith. When they saw other Christians being tortured and it was their turn to go before the proconsul, they would say, no, I'm not a Christian. And then they'd try to go back to church and the church would say, you said you're not a Christian, so you don't need to be here. That sounds harsh to us. This is the time that Paul's talking to this church. So he said, you've been buried in baptism with Christ, so that means you identify with his death. And when you come out of the water, God raised you to a new life. Praise the Lord. The preacher that baptized me was a Pentecostal preacher. And I could hear him when I was under the water because Pentecostal preachers shout. And he said, out with the old, in with the new, glory to God. And he raised me up out of that water. And it was February at Bryant Creek right down there by the trout farm. And he hollered hallelujah and I just said, whoa, when I come out of that water, oh man, it was cold. But you know, I had a peace I'd never had. And I knew something had happened. Paul said, you've been raised to this new life. Now, verse 2 is going to be the focus. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. This was very interesting to me. The King James says, set your affections on things above. So I looked the word affections up in the Greek. And I've got it wrote down here. Phroneo. To exercise the mind. In other words, to entertain or have a sentiment or opinion. To be mentally disposed, earnestly in the same direction. To interest oneself in with concern or obedience. To set the affection on. To be careful. To be like-minded, to be of one mind, to be of the same mind, to regard, savor, and think. Now that's a lot to take in. And I found in counting in the Old Testament or the New Testament concordance, there are some 20 different words in Hebrew for mind. Yeah. And set. The word set is the same word as affection. And I thought, now that's weird. Did Paul say, mind your mind? You know, it means mind. It means to be mentally disposed, to act in obedience, to be convinced of something. And I thought, that is strange. But that's how these biblical languages are written. They say the Hebrew is very picturesque. One word can say a whole sentence. And evidently the Greeks that way. There was a mind for humble mind. There was a mind for being in one accord. This word translated affection in the King James, translated mind in the Greek or in the ESV and the International, is the same word where Paul said in Philippians 2:5, have this mind in you that was in Christ. That word can mean the divine mind or the human mind. So Paul told the Philippian church, you need to allow yourself to have the mind, the same mind that Christ did and does. Why? Well, now, brother, who can know God? He's so mysterious. But he told the Colossians, all God's mysteries are embodied in Jesus Christ. All of his wisdom, all of his deity is there. Jesus told Philip, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I heard a little girl one time say, Jesus put a face on God. And I like that. Yeah, that's what he did. Because the God in the Old Testament, Moses said, I want to see your glory. And God said, you can't see my face and live, but I'll let you see my back. But in Jesus, God put a face on him that you could see and you could talk to. And who would talk to you? And Paul's warning the Colossian church, he said, set your mind on heavenly things. That brother preached last Sunday, he mentioned this, and you know, I've been stirred up with the election results. I think there was some shenanigans took place, personally. I am not looking forward to the Democrats being in the White House. I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, and there used to be some Democrats here, and if I'd have said that, they'd have went, argh. You know, my dad was a Democrat, and I told him, you would vote for the devil himself if he ran on the Democratic ticket, and Dad said, you're darn right I would. You know, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat. The rioting, I get so angry watching the rioting. And I think, why don't the police or the National Guard go in there with their rifles loaded and cocked and start dropping people and saying, now, stop it or die. That's the only two choices you're going to have. That's how I would handle it. So that's probably why God doesn't allow me to be in that kind of an office. You know, I'd say, well, kill them. If they won't cease and desist, shoot them. If you can, shoot them in the legs. But, you know, it really aggravates me. I want to tell you something else that really irritates me while I'm talking about what irritates me. And you can say, I care less what irritates you. Get on with it. I got a roast in the oven and I need to get home. You know, the other guys only talk for 15 or 20 minutes and you need to stay within that time frame. Well, you know me well enough. No, that ain't going to happen. I'll try to get us out of here early. But my early and your early is probably two different things. Yeah. But I see this rioting and looting and burning and the media, which is already state-owned as far as I'm concerned, saying they have a right to peaceful protest. And I'm thinking, what part of peaceful don't you understand? We do have a right by the Constitution to address grievances to our government. And now our government's saying, you shouldn't have church services because of this supposed pandemic that's killing thousands of people. There's a preacher in California, one of several, named Jack Hibbs, who wouldn't comply with that. He said, no, we're still going to worship. The First Amendment of the Constitution says, Congress shall make no laws concerning religious, nor the free practice thereof, i.e., even Congress does not have the authority to tell the church, you got to close your doors because of this pandemic. They don't have that authority. The governor of the state does not have that authority. And yet they're doing that. To me, if I want to go to church and take a chance of catching COVID, that's my personal decision. You know, it's funny. They didn't close the liquor stores. People could go still get tanked, you know. Oh, we can't do that. Well, you know, we make $3 or $4 billion a year on alcohol sales. We got to keep that going. See what I'm saying? And these things aggravate me and irritate me, and they get my motor going. And poor Judy has to sit there and listen to me talk to the TV, you know, and call them all kinds of things that I have to repent of later. Yes, Lord, I know I said idiot two or three times. You said not to call people idiots, but Lord, they are, you know. And I try to pray for my leaders, and sometimes all I can say is, please, God, do something with them. You know, These highly educated men that make these decisions that's going to devastate people. Now, I'm not here to talk politics. I've probably stepped over the line as far as our government's concerned. But I say that to say this. I was watching the news and I was irritated, and the election results, you know, and the media said, Biden has won. He's in. 290 electoral votes to Trump's 217. And anytime there's a 1% margin, the losing candidate has a right to ask for a recount, is what he's doing. I get 5 emails a day from the Trump campaign. We need your money now. You know, President Trump will match your donation by 1,000%, but you can't email him unless you just send him money. I sent a $50 check in the mail. And I want to email and say, look, if you can match my donation by 1,000%, you don't need my donation. You know, just dig into your personal assets and fight this. And I've been in a lot of turmoil over this. And I told Judy, if the Democratic Party wins, we're going to go to socialism, which I hate, which doesn't work. It's never worked. Biden says, I'm going to tax anyone, increase their taxes, who makes over $400,000 a year. I'd like to see the percentage of how many people that is, because you're telling me you're going to tax this income group to make sure this other income group has all the things you're promising. They're going to have free medical care. You know, it doesn't work. And I was going on about that one day, and the Lord said, Rick, the people that are in office are there because I allow them to be there. That's what I did. Oh, come on. I never thought you were a Democrat. You know, that's what I feel like saying to God. I don't think you're a Democrat. God's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican, but he's God. And he reminded me that he is in control. And one of these days, all this that we're in now is going to end. The persecution of the church has started in America. And I was thinking about COVID and that. And man, the Spirit of God said, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, when you teach and preach that way, people think you're pessimistic. And maybe I am a little pessimistic. I don't believe the church is going to win the world to Jesus Christ and present a Christian world when he returns. And I just read you where Jesus said, no, that's not what's going to happen. He said, in fact, it's going to get worse and worse, more evil, more depraved, more wicked. He said, it'll get to the point that many will stop loving each other, and he's talking about the church. And they will hate one another, and they will betray one another. And he said, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The King James says, because iniquity will abound, the love of most will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And Paul's talking to this Colossian church with whom he's never personally met. His letter was written to the bishops and the deacons, and they were to read it, and then they'd read it to the congregation. And here was Paul's advice in all this stuff going on in his world. He said, set your mind on heavenly things. I've had people say to me, you don't want to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I don't think that's possible. In fact, I think the more heavenly minded you are, the more beneficial you are to this earth. That brother said something Sunday. Maybe I took it wrong. It's easy when you sit out there to critique a teacher or a preacher. And I felt like he was saying, you know, we need to live the Christian life before these people and win them to Christ and, you know, change everything. That ain't happening. I'm not saying people can't get saved. Jesus sent his men into a very hostile world. He said, go out and preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've told you, and I'm with you even to the end of the age. They were not well received in most cities. They were stoned and beaten. They all eventually were martyred, except John died as an old man in Ephesus. And Paul, my goodness, when you read his resume, he said, 5 times I've received 40 lashes. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. I got stoned once, and that's not what the same meaning today. Getting stoned back then was getting badly bruised or killed. He said, I've been shipwrecked. I spent a night and a whole day adrift in the sea. And I knew an ex-Navy SEAL that said part of their training, they took them about 20 miles off the coast, kicked them out of a helicopter, and they had to stay 24 hours floating in that water. And he said, I'm going to tell you something. At night, a fish would bump your leg, and I hear grown men scream like a little girl. Something hit my leg! Shark! And he said, just all this stuff going on in your imagination. And he said, I was never so glad to see them when they came in the boat to get us. And nobody got hurt. Nothing happened. But the Navy wanted them to understand, this may happen to you. One UDT guy in Vietnam said they dropped them 10 miles offshore and they swam to the shore, swam up a river and blew up some boats that they were supposed to. And he said, I never got so tired of swimming in my life, and I kept thinking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we going the right direction? You know, and I said, I can't imagine going through that. And you know, sometimes, Christian, that's how life feels to us. It really does. You know, like I said, I watched all this media and the election results and the rioting. I especially hate the rioting. I hate it when innocent people get hurt and killed. And people say, well, it's for a good cause. No. I made a comment on Facebook once, and they was going on about BLM and Antifa and our rights. And I said, I lived as a child when Dr. King marched, and he would not support what you're doing. In fact, he'd be very ashamed of it. I never heard a word of anybody. Paul is saying to the church then and the church now, look, with all this that's going on around you, set your mind on things above. Jesus said it will get so wicked that a lot of my people will stop loving each other. In fact, instead of loving, they'll hate one another. They'll betray one another. But he said, if you endure to the end, you will be saved. How do we endure to the end? Paul said, get your eyes off earthly things, off the things of the world, and get your eyes on the heavenly things, on heaven, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. God's not sitting there, and the Lord Jesus Christ are not sitting in heaven, wringing their hands, going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We didn't expect this to happen. You know, look how crazy it's getting. They don't do that. In the second psalm, God says, why do the nations rage and the heathens imagine vain things? And they say, come, let us break his cords. The King James says chains. The world sees God's law as restrictive and they don't like it. And in the Psalms, David, through the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Spirit of God, says, God looks at man and they say, let's break those bonds. And God says, I already established my king. So I laugh at that. It ain't funny when you're living here. You know, this ain't funny, God. And I think God goes, yeah. He said, I've already established my king. And he says, you kings of the earth better kiss the Son, because his anger can flare up in a moment. You know, that's not the Jesus I heard about in Sunday school, the meek little Jesus, you know. God says, you don't want to tick him off. He's in total control. And that's the best advice I think I could give the church this morning. And if Paul were here today, I think that's the same advice he'd give the church. Set your mind on heavenly things. It doesn't mean the earth is an illusion, as the Hindus teach. This life is illusion. It's not what Paul's saying. He said, look, keep your eyes on Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God with all principality and power under his feet. I told Judy, when they come for our guns, I'm really struggling with, am I going to comply and go, sure, here? Or am I going to take to the woods and say, if you want them, you can have the business end of them? And when I think like that, I remember Jesus telling Peter, put up your sword, for those who live by the sword will die by the sword. But I say, yeah, but God, when I consider dying by a bullet in the head or being tortured to death, I'll take the bullet in the head. You know, that's the way I think. I know I'm warped. But I struggle with those things. And this verse has meant a lot to me in studying this. Paul said, keep your eyes on Christ. This world ain't it, what we live in. This isn't it. This isn't going to be what it'll be like in eternity. I had a corporal tell me that when I was in boot camp. And after about 6 weeks, I felt like the biggest idiot that ever walked. And I thought, why did I sign up for this? People cussing at me, getting in my face, talking about my mother and my heritage, you know. And this corporal said, you got to remember something. This is not it. This isn't the army. When you get out of boot, you're not going to be treated like this all the time. I said, oh, okay. Well, this life isn't it, church. It's not it. And all this stuff going on in the politics and the protests and the killing and the burning, Jesus said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. He said it's going to get so bad that a lot of my people in the church are going to start hating one another. And they're going to forsake me and leave. But he said, listen, if you will endure to the end, you will be saved. How do I keep a heavenly mind? By reading the Word, by prayer, by fellowship, coming here and fellowshipping together, encouraging one another. You know, keep on going, man. Just keep on going. Because they ain't going to be in charge for long. When Jesus returns, I was reading in 2 Thessalonians the other day, Paul talks about the man of lawlessness, and I've always questioned, you know, is there going to be one man ruling the world, the Antichrist? And Paul talks about the man of lawlessness being revealed. But he said the Lord will destroy with the breath of his mouth when he comes back. Wow. Gone. That's the way when he had the breath of his mouth, that's how I see Jesus going to come back and go, bing. God promises us in the Psalms that one day it'll be like waking up from a bad dream. And he said, you'll look for the wicked, they won't be there anymore. He said, there won't even be a hint of them. They're gone. Set your mind on things above. I've been very fond for 20 years of saying, you know, you need to read this book because I read all the way to the end and we win. But it also says that the beast, the Antichrist, the world government, whoever it is, will wear out the saints. He will overcome us. Maybe a lot of us will die. I don't know if this will happen in my lifetime, but probability tells me, yeah, it'll probably happen in my grandchildren's lifetime, you know. What did Paul say? Set your mind on the heavenly things. He told the church that there were certain Jews who were supposed to be Christians, were coming into the Gentile churches and trying to teach the law and the ordinances. And he said, I say this now, even weeping, Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame. Their end is destruction. Who mind earthly things. Same word. Paul said their mind is set on earthly things and not on heavenly things. And that's why they're teaching you this false doctrine. Satan's favorite tool, Judy and I talked about this morning, is doubt. When he approached Adam and Eve, he opened the conversation with a question. Did God really say? She was asking me last night, how do you know the Bible's the inspired word of God? I said, I believe it is. So she said, that's what faith is. I said, yeah. It's not blind faith because it's right there for me to read. I don't believe the Quran is inspired. I don't believe the Book of Mormon is inspired. I don't believe the translinear translation is an inspired writing. They're transliterations of the Bible. They plagiarize scriptures and say, hey, you know, this angel revealed this to me. That was going on in Colossae. And Paul was telling the Colossae Christians, listen, have a heavenly mindset. I think that's the best advice this morning as a brother in Christ that I can give to you. And it's kind of calmed me down. You know, I can watch the news now and not go, blah! I'm like, you know what? If you do get in power, it's short-lived. And all you can do is kill my body. But you can't touch what I have in Christ. That's my heavenly mindset. Jesus assured me, if you come to me, I won't drive you away. And no one can take you out of my Father's hands. Now you talk about security. To me, that's its security. Would you stand with me? I don't know about prayer announcements, requests, or anything. Just be in prayer for our nation. And the Holy Spirit's reminding me that if Biden does get in, I need to pray for him. You know, that's hard for me to do. But I'm not better than Joe Biden. And as a Christian, I should intercede on his behalf. My prayer is that he will surround himself with godly counsel and advisors.